From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. With Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the short list for the next head of the Department of Health and Human Services, what could that mean for our country's healthcare system moving forward along with the FDA? Well, joining us today is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, as well as co-author of the book Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak, to talk more about this. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
And folks, remember, if you have a public health question, send us an email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Dr. Pate, before we tackle the topic of the ramifications of Kennedy being named HHS director, I do want to talk about another issue first. And this is news about avian flu, because you've got some news for us, and it is not great.
No, unfortunately, I wish I had better news. The first concerning point is that after now almost 8 months, the USDA has failed to be able to control the spread of avian influenza among dairy cattle and among poultry. The second concerning news is that after this virus started showing up in California, in their herds, we saw what appears to be a change in the biological behavior of the virus. Particularly, it appeared more virulent, that is, to cause more severe disease. And the reason I say that is that prior to California herds being involved, before, when herds in Idaho and other states were identified, we were led to believe that the mortality rate among infected cows was less than 2%. Mm-hmm. The reports we're getting out of California is that that mortality rate is like 10 to 15%. And certainly we've seen video images of dead cattle basically stacked outside of the farms awaiting to be picked up. Next thing was that while we were led to believe that that most of the cattle recovered completely and soon, typically in a week, maybe 2 weeks, we're being told that now it's typical for those cows that do survive to be sick for several weeks, and they don't completely recover. They only regain about 60 to 70% of their milk production. And then most startling has been the large number relative to how many cases we identified before of new cases of human infection in California related to transmission of this virus from the cattle to the humans. Now, fortunately, so far, they all seem to have gotten mild illness, mm-hmm. but many of us have suspected that far more farm workers are being infected than have been detected. And a study was just performed looking at two states where they determined that actually, based on antibodies, 7% of the farm workers had actually been infected with this virus. In other words, not only is this virus spreading among cattle and uncontrolled, there is far more spread to humans than we thought. And then most recently, the bad news was a teenager being admitted to a hospital in British Columbia with this virus, the H5N1 avian flu virus, who is critically ill. And this teenager was previously in good health and now has acute respiratory distress syndrome. This is an alarming development. We are waiting for the genetic analysis to see if this virus has significantly changed from what was circulating. But these are all worrisome signs. It, again, doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to get an avian flu epidemic or pandemic, but each one of these things added to the other is just significantly increasing the risk. And I fear that we're not prepared.
So, Dr. Pate, what does that mean for the average person, let's say here in Idaho right now?
So not much fur in Idaho right now. What this means is that when, for example, when we dealt with the COVID pandemic, that was not what we saw was evidence of the pandemic when it was infecting humans. We didn't have the benefit of seeing the progression of how this virus was affecting bats and other animals, the animals that we believe were being sold at the market that eventually transmitted the virus to humans. We saw it at the point where it jumped in humans and now was creating terrible disease. What we're watching now is a process that we rarely see with pandemics, where we're seeing this all unfold. And the belief is that we can still intervene and stop this. I think the real question for Idahoans and all Americans, and frankly for the world, is, one, do we have the will to do this? Because we should intervene and stop this. The second is really related to the first topic you brought up. We are getting ready to have a change in presidential administrations. And what will a Trump administration mean for our readiness to combat and prevent pandemics? And in fact, what will it even mean to our primary weapon relative to avian influenza, which is vaccines?
So with that said, let's now talk the possibility of Robert Kennedy Jr. being named the next Health and Human Services Director. So Health and Human Services, folks, this covers a gamut of offices, including the FDA. So Dr. Pate, I would just like your initial thoughts on RFK Jr. potentially being placed in this position.
Well, anybody that listens to me or reads my blog knows that I am a staunch opponent of disinformation. Whether a particular listener decides to get vaccinated or not, or decides to have their children vaccinated or not, that's not my issue, and that's up to them. But what I object to is feeding people wrong information so that when they're trying to make a decision, they base it off of wrong information instead of the correct information. That's my problem with RFK Jr. He has found a very profitable business based on perpetuating falsehoods about vaccines. And we know they're falsehoods because they were disproven decades ago. I could certainly excuse some people early on in the pandemic being uncertain about vaccines and so forth. Here we are, 4.5 years into this pandemic, and we actually know the answers to most of these vaccine questions, and people are still spreading it, including RFK Jr. That is disinformation, and what we're seeing and Gemma, what you and I have talked about is not only the adverse effect that's had on Idahoans during COVID, where we had people coming into the hospital who could not believe that their family member was critically ill and dying because they had been taking ivermectin. So how was that possible after what these people had told them, that ivermectin would prevent all this and all, and they didn't get vaccinated, which was the one thing that we knew would significantly increase their odds of surviving the illness. And so it did a lot of damage there. But then you and I have discussed, we've had a polio outbreak in New York. That's a disease we eliminated from the United States decades ago, but people that were unvaccinated got infected. And we've talked closer to home, where we had a measles outbreak in Nampa. We've talked about the whooping cough outbreaks. So we're seeing more of these vaccine-preventable diseases because more and more people are either subscribing to those anti-vax views, or they're just misled and confused or scared, and so they're not taking vaccines, and this will be a terrible consequence for us.
Now, Kennedy has said that he would not ban vaccines if he got this position, but with that said, he has also said there is no vaccine that is safe and effective, and he does encourage people to resist CDC guidelines on vaccines for children in particular. And Dr. Payne, I want to talk a little bit more about that, because in particular, when we look at countries around the world, let's take the United States out of it, but like places like Sub-Saharan Africa, where millions of children, you know, worldwide are getting these vaccines, it's preventing death from preventable diseases, like you said. And that is your choice. If you decide not to be vaccinated, if you decide not to get your child vaccinated, that is your choice to do that. What seems concerning is that you have someone who is saying that no vaccine is safe and effective. And what does that mean then for people who want to be vaccinated, who want to get their children vaccinated? Could that potentially not even be, you know, an option if he's placed in this position?
Well, Jimmy, you're hitting on all the right issues. The first thing is he does not have to or even have the authority to ban vaccines. He can do tremendous damage just planting doubt in people's minds. The comment about no vaccine being safe or effective is absolutely false. We could show convincing evidence that that is false for hours with tons of data. So that's a false statement. The second thing is people need to keep in mind a lot of the folks that perpetuate these vaccine disinformation. When you have the ability to know, in fact, many of them are getting vaccinated and having their families vaccinated. This is either something they're doing for political aspirations, financial benefit, or some other benefit, but they don't even believe the nonsense themselves. And as I say, there's no rabies vaccine anti-vaxxer. If you are exposed to rabies and you don't get vaccinated, you will die. It's 100%. I can assure you that if RFK Jr. was in my office with an exposure to rabies or brought a child in with that, and I explained they're going to die without the vaccine, he would get the vaccine in a second. So there's that. The other thing is, right now we had the vaccines, but look at the damage that those that are purveying this disinformation have already done here in Idaho. You and I discussed at Southwest District Health, what did they do? The board told the district they can no longer make available the COVID vaccines. Not that vaccines were going to be mandated for people, but just that we weren't going to even let you have the vaccine, even if you want it. So lots of damage can be done even without, even if RFK Jr. sticks to his promise of not removing the vaccines, it will still have tremendous damage done.
Now, if he is placed in this position, he would also be in charge of the FDA. Now, he is well known for accusing the FDA of what he calls aggressive suppression of a range of products, which includes psychedelics. But also, he's a huge advocate of raw milk. Dr. Pate, we've talked about this on our program numerous times. Health officials discourage this, in particular right now, as you just talked about, the ongoing bird flu outbreak.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And there's other things that he has stated too, like wanting to remove fluoride from water. This is an anti-science approach. It is ignoring science. In fact, he's almost honest about that, because what he's also said is he just wants to get rid of, for example, all the nutritional scientists in the FDA. Well, what is that about? It means he wants to replace experts and scientists with non-experts. That's anti-science. And so this is the problem. His promotion, there are people who will listen to his promotion of drinking raw milk. And you and I have talked about many diseases that can be transmitted that way. Look at, and some people will think, oh, nobody's going to fall for that. Go back and look at the number of 911 calls that occurred after President Trump said at the podium, maybe you should drink bleach for the COVID. We had all kinds of emergencies where people actually did that. And so you have to be careful. People will listen to these things and assume that somebody in a position of authority knows what they're talking about. Raw milk would be very dangerous. Taking fluoride out of drinking water would set us back decades in terms of children's health. Now, there are some, he does have some good ideas. There are some things that really should be considered, and we need the science to address that may be some health risks. But the problem is, it's too high of a price to pay to give him that opportunity when we know he's not going to follow the science in all these other areas, and it's going to hurt people.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Pate, switching gears, it is time of year where we're definitely seeing a lot of folks wondering about getting a flu shot. So where are we here in our state?
Well, I've been telling people just kind of hold off for a while, because it looks like we're having a little bit of a late season, relatively speaking, and I didn't want the benefits of the vaccine to wear off before we got into the high months, but it is now time. So I would recommend listeners within the next week, go get your flu shot. You still have very low levels, but we are now starting to see them increase. So I imagine this is a pretty good time to go ahead and get that flu shot and make sure that you're protected. Remember, everyone 6 months and over is eligible. Get your kids vaccinated too. They benefit from this. Get your whole family vaccinated if you can.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.